Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
So, I wanted to share a scripture with you that's really been on my heart this morning, and it's been a crazy morning, but it's something that I know that we've all heard, but it's something I think that would be great for us to hear before we go into worship this morning. It's Psalms 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good and His mercy is everlasting and His truth endures to all generations.
Come on.
So let's give some shouts to the Lord this morning. Let's bless His name because He is God. And no matter what's going on, no matter the situations in life, we have something to worship about, right? We have something to be excited about because He is good and His mercy endures forever. It's something in our life that we can count on no matter what, that we can always go to Him for. So let's just go into worship this morning and let's just have that in our hearts. Let's just bless Him this morning. You know that sometimes the waiting is the hardest part. Sometimes you've been given a promise, and the waiting is sometimes what's difficult. But if you continue to wait, you will see a breakthrough like none other. You will see something in your life. You begin to see a moving in your life, and something will also happen within you. That's like, that just confirms, when I wait, you move. When I'm in the waiting, you're in the background. When I'm just waiting on you, you're moving mountains. When I'm waiting on you, you're guiding my feet. And that's the best place to be, because it's not us, it's Him within us. And if we allow our soul to quiet and allow the Spirit to be what takes over, we begin to enter a place of waiting that's not just waiting, but it's refreshing, it's fulfillment, it's revelation, it's every single thing that you need in your life. So as we go into this again, man, just know that in the waiting is where He speaks. In the waiting is where you feel the moving of His presence. In the waiting is where He gives you exactly what you need for the next step.
I felt this in the last song, and I feel it in this song too. But the Bible tells us that we're made of the spirit, the soul, and the body. And we operate in a way where we should be operating with the spirit coming first. But the soul and the body are just the normal, typical things that our body tells us constantly, right? So it's this feeling of, okay, I need these things to survive. So I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. Can you give me sleep? Because I need sleep. All of those things. The soul, though, it's kind of that driving force sometimes when we don't know to get it under control. And it can lead us and guide us in ways that are not always great ways, right? It's kind of more of the center of your emotions. Oh, I'm frustrated. Oh, I'm angry. Oh, I'm happy. Oh, I'm feeling this way. But a lot of times, that's the thing. And the world definitely will be fueled by these things. That soul comes first all the time, a lot of times. Because it's what we're used to listening to. Oh, that made me mad. So now I'm going to go say these things. Or, you know, this makes me really happy. So I'm going to go share that joy with somebody. But the Bible tells us that the Spirit should come before that. And that's the thing, is sometimes that can be really difficult in our lives, but it's actually the perfecting that's happening in your life as you allow that Holy Spirit to go first. See, there's not ever a moment in your life where you were meant to do everything on your own. God created you. He knows who you are. He knows how you operate. Isn't it amazing that when we look at the world and we look at even science, you begin to see how all of these things work together for a great purpose, right? And he planned every single one of those things. He knows how we operate. That's why we don't have to always try to do these things on our own. But the Bible does tell us that we are to be more like him, that we're supposed to be a reflection of him, and that that spirit, if you look at the word, it actually lists them: spirit, soul, and body. And there's a reason, because as you allow him to speak to you, you begin to see that that spirit is supposed to be what's in front. Just like it said, it's supposed to be first. Because as we go after God and we allow for him to do things in our lives, we begin to allow the spirit to be what leads us. And it's no longer our emotions. It's no longer the frustrating things in our lives or even just the little stumbles that we have because I'm feeling down right now and I don't feel like it can work out. No, when you allow that spirit to go first, it'll be what guides you. So because it's guiding you, it'll help you with every single one of those emotions that you're feeling. And can I tell you that as you begin to do this, that perfecting in your life begins to happen because you're no longer being driven by carnal things. You're being driven by the spirit within you. He never leaves you. You're never left alone. He's always with you. But sometimes we put that soul in front and we say, you take the wheel. And that's not what we're meant to do. We're not. Because that a lot of times can get you into trouble. It can get you into places that you don't want to be in. And I don't know who he's speaking to this morning, but know that if you allow him to go first, even in the waiting, you'll begin to see that things are different, that things are changing. Because it's not you. It's him who's going before you. And as you're allowing him to do it, you'll begin to see that the way I would have reacted to this before, that's not me. As you begin to go through things, you'll begin to see that the way that you do things, man, it's not a reflection of the flesh, but it's a reflection of the kingdom because it's a reflection of him. And that right there is what speaks to the people around you. Because you are meant to be a reflection of the Father. And as you allow for him to do those things in your life and perfect and you put his spirit first, then that's exactly what begins to show is his spirit. It shows within you in every single thing you do and every step you take. Now it's not you that they're seeing, it's him in you, the light that you're meant to be. That's why the Bible talks about the city set on a hill, because it's shining bright. You can see it. And it's the same thing with you. As you allow that spirit to go forth, you will shine bright. And not because of you, but because of him in you. And that's when people begin to say, what is different about you? What is it that I see in you? Because what you have, I need. Because I can't seem to do this. It seems to be stumbling all the time. But what you're doing, that's what I need. And that's who we're meant to be. That's who we're called to be. That's why, like, even in this song, you picked me up and turned me around. Because it's him who does a new work, a new thing in your life.
I'm looking for a sister. Here. I'm short, but not that short. Praise God. I'm looking for a sister that was in the Wednesday night Bible studies. I didn't get it all, but what I got, I know it was God. Because like the sister was talking about the Holy Spirit, it says that the Holy Spirit says that the supernatural touch of the Holy Spirit to the human spirit.
Yeah, come on.
When Jesus brought, you know, when Jesus says, you know, says I need to go away because so the Father can send another comforter. Talking about the anointing of God, you know, the Holy Spirit. And I've been looking for something that related to this. The supernatural touch of the Holy Spirit to the human spirit.
Man, come on.
Like the sister was talking about spirit, soul, and body. So we're talking about, I remember when we were in the world, we're body, soul, and spirit. The world calls it conscience.
Yeah.
But we're talking about that our spirit was way down there, a voice always crying out, says, Reuben, you're doing something wrong. But I could barely hear it. I could barely hear it. But when I was born again, the Lord gave me that Holy Spirit, that comforter, that guider, the provider, the teacher. And he's the one that gave us, you know, that the comfort, you know, and it cleaved to my spirit. It cleaved to my spirit and gave me that, you know, the strength, you know, for the Holy Spirit to be first. And then the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions, and the flesh, which always got me in trouble. The thing is, you know, now we got that anointing spirit.
Yeah, come on.
We got that anointing spirit that cleaves to our spirit and gives us that, you know, gives us life. That gives us, you know, that I will grab that word of God where it says, you know, I'm going to go before you like a consuming fire. It says, you're not going to do the fighting. I am.
Yeah.
I'm going to put seven nations in front of you. And I grabbed those seven nations one time, you know, when I was studying the Word of God at home and talking about seven nations, you know, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Canaanites, and on and on. But the thing is that I would grab, it says, you know, the weed, you know, the white crosses, the Mexican beauties, you know, the black beauties, the mushrooms, you know, the weed and all this garbage. God took it away from me one night.
Come on.
In the name of Jesus. One night. I didn't know how, you know, praise God, I'm out there in the world, you know, and preaching the gospel and telling people, you know, hey, you don't eat that. I can't be out there at 8 o'clock until they all drunk. And the thing is, you know, they said, Reuben, how did you do it, man? Jesus. There's no other way.
Man,
but Jesus,
come on.
Those rivers of living water that flow in me, you know, within me, which says, you know, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And that's what we're talking about. That anointing grits to my spirit and gives me life. You know, the Bible says that I was always out there in the world, you know, I was always getting stoned. The Bible says that Jesus is the cornerstone.
Yeah.
Now, I'm stoned to the bone with the chief cornerstone.
Amen. Praise God.
Praise God, you know. And that's who he is. He's our Savior, you know. He's our Redeemer. He's our strength. And there's no other. No other. I've been in the, you know, I've been since 1982, I think it is. You know, I don't know how to count right now. But praise God. He's the one that gave me this life.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Talking about not being prepared, huh? Praise God. Had to run all the way to my office to get my notes. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. How's everybody doing this morning? Praise God. We've been talking lately about fullness. The Holy Spirit's been talking to me about fullness, about the fullness of God dwelling in the believer. How many guys are in for that? How many of you want God to be dwelling in you in his full capacity? How many, amen? Wherever you go, that the Holy Spirit would touch people and cause folks to be healed. Amen? to get saved. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I want to read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13 to you, if I could. This is a scripture that God has been given to me the message I have this morning, I had it 2 weeks ago for you. How many showed up for last 2 weeks ago? Anybody show up? Somebody told me that they came. Because of the rains, we went ahead and came in to put a sign on the door and it was pretty much flooded, and not inside the building, but my office had caved in, the ceiling had tiles had caved in, and so Rosie and I had spent the time that morning just cleaning up the office. But the Lord gave me this message, and so last few nights I've been looking at, okay, God, what do you want for Sunday morning? What do you want for Sunday morning? And began to just rehearse almost the same thing that he had for me 2 weeks ago. So I know that God wants me to speak this. So somebody's in the house today that I'm thinking, somebody's here today that wasn't coming last Sunday, and God wants you to hear this. So he made it rain so that you can be here this morning to hear that. How many say amen to that? Come on, man. Hallelujah. How many know God is good? Hallelujah. Today is my spiritual birthday. Yesterday was my natural birthday. But how many know that the Word of God tells us that we need to be born of water and of the Spirit? That, you know, you're born of the flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Yes, today is actually my spiritual birthday. I got born again on August 8th, 1902. No, I can't remember. Sorry, no. 1979. And the day after my birthday, I was hungover when I went to talk to my, he ended up being my pastor. I was hungover when I went to talk to him. By the time I got done, I got out of his, of being where he was at, because I was weeping like, crazy. The hangover left, and I had this feeling of being washed by the Word of God. I don't even know how to explain that to you, except that His presence. I said, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'd feel this like, everybody go like that. Come on, everybody go. Yeah, that's what's gonna happen. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I probably said it for 2 hours at least that I know of. And then I went to eat lunch, and my supervisor looked at me and said, "Man, you ready to go back to work?" He had actually let me go find a place to hide because he realized that I was pretty messed up when I went in. Instead of sending me home, he said, "Hey, you just go find a place to hide." And when I went back for lunch, he goes, "Man, you look good." Man, I felt good. There was something that changed in my life. Jesus had did something within me that I could not do on my own. Let me tell you, I tried to quit drinking. I tried. I was servant to the king of beers, Budweiser. How many know that? Budweiser, that was his name, king. And then when I gave my heart to the Lord, the King of Kings came into my heart. Ooh, hallelujah. Now, and Mr. Budweiser had to bow his, amen? Come on, hallelujah. Haven't touched the stuff since 1979, haven't had anything. But the Lord is, filled with the Spirit is the best thing that can happen in your life. How many say amen to that? Amen, praise God, hallelujah. So I'm kind of excited about being 40, only 43 years old today. Amen, hallelujah. If you count, yeah, 43. Anybody ask me, well, how many years young are you? I think I told everybody we need to do that. How many years young? I'm only 43. Hallelujah. Moses was 40, amen, when he went to talk to the children of Israel, probably in the third year there. By the third year, he was probably in the desert. So sometimes it feels like I'm in the desert. Is that all right? I am. So you are, yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, if you will, open your Bibles to Luke chapter 7. Verses 1 through 10, we're going to talk about this fullness. Like I said, a few weeks ago, I preached on truthfulness, how God wants us full of truth. Did I ever read the scripture? I never did I? I didn't. Here's the scripture, and it's Ephesians 4:13 says, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith." How many of you believe that that can happen? Oh, man. I mean, not very many hands went up. Can I tell you something? We got to believe that that can happen. There's only one way that's going to happen is by the Holy Ghost. Amen? That till we all come, every believer, everyone that's all, no matter where they're at on this planet, they're going to come together because the Holy Spirit working in their life will teach them, lead them, and guide them into all truth. How many say amen to that? Can God do that? Can the body of Christ finally come together? How many know the body of Christ has been kind of... We're bigger than you are. We got more people than you. Whatever. Is that right? The body of Christ has been at odds kind of with each other. Is that right? Does that seem right to you? Absolutely not. Hallelujah. But I believe that God can bring the unity of the unity of the body together. Amen. Praise God. I'm glad a couple of you said amen. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a what? Perfect man. Is that right? Can I tell you that God has taken you someplace? He's taken you to a perfection that's within you that needs to be seen out of you. Is that okay? Come on, man. And to a perfect man under the measure of the stature of the fullness. I love that word fullness. Of the fullness of Christ. He's talking about you right there. How many say amen to that? He's talking about you. That you would be a complete man of God, woman of God on the earth. Is that cool? I love it, man. So that's where we're going. And we're going to talk today about powerfulness. I mean, I want to be powerful. Is that right? There's only one way to get power. Is that right? It's not money. And somebody say, amen. Amen. You have a lot of money one day and lose it the next. Is that right? Come on, man. Powerfulness. The power we're talking about is the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. How many say amen to that? Come on, man. God desires you to be full of his power. Is that okay? Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your word. Father, your word says that your word, Father, your word is quick and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the intents of the heart. That's your word. That's what your word says about your word, Father. So this morning, Lord, divide soul and spirit, joint and marrow, Father. And Father God, reveal the intents of the heart to each and every one that's listening today, Father. Let your spirit, Father, Holy Spirit, have your way in this service. In Jesus' name I pray. Do you agree? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So be it. Luke chapter 7, we're going to go 1 through 10. Man. The most powerful man in the world. How many say amen? Jesus is the most powerful man this world has ever seen. Is that okay? Are you okay with that? There has been none that's more powerful than Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus of Nazareth, if you will. The Lamb of God. Hallelujah. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. There has been no man that's ever walked on this earth more powerful than Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Here he is. Luke chapter 7, starting at verse 1, says, "Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent to him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this." This is a good guy. You really ought to heal a servant. Then Jesus went with them, for he loves our nation, and he's built us a synagogue. So he's a really good guy. I'm saying, oh, okay, he's a good guy. Amen? He's a good guy, and he's a centurion, probably Roman. And Jesus went with them, And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not yourself, for I am not worthy that you should come on, that you should enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come to you, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say to one, go, and he goes, and another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Sorry. And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said to the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent returned to the house and found the servant whole that had been sick. How many believe that you can pray for somebody that's far away and they can be healed? How many believe that? Amen? Do you have to be there in person? Come on, man. Hallelujah. You can take them before the throne of God and say, God, this is my friend. This is my cousin. This is my brother. This is my son. This is my whoever. And stand with them in the throne of God and say, God, would you heal them? Amen? And the word of God said, Jesus says, faith is a key to this. Is that right? You know, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says that he that comes to God must believe that he is. And he's the rewarder of those that want diligently seek him. How many know that faith is a vehicle? Is that right? It can take you someplace. Do you know that? You know that the more faith you got, the more that you walk and stand in faith, the more you'll see the things of the kingdom of God. Is that okay? Because God works. God's looking for faith. Does God look for faith? Jesus said right there. He goes, man. I have not found. Is that right? I have not found so great a faith in all of Israel. See, he's looking for faith. Is he looking for faith? Yes, he is. And Jesus was excited about it, I think. And what was he excited about? Here is this centurion that didn't even go out to meet him. This is Luke's account. You'll find it in Matthew that the centurion actually, I don't know how it got, maybe it's a different guy. Is that okay? But in Matthew, it talks about he saw him. He went and talked to him. But here in Luke, he says he doesn't even go. He just sends his servant out there to talk to him. And I love the centurion's attitude. He says, you tell him that I'm not even worthy for him to come under my roof. You see, that centurion knew how to position himself before God. How many say amen to that? I mean, do you know that humbleness is very, very powerful with God? God doesn't look for a haughty spirit. Is that right? He doesn't look for the best. He doesn't look for the one that says, man, I'm everything in the kingdom of God. Yeah. Just talk to me. I got it all. I mean, amen. He looks for the humble. He watches to see the heart and say, hey, that's the one I'm looking at. Huh. Incredible thing. And he says, hey, I'm not even worthy that you should come under my roof. But I like what he says, but just say the word. Just speak the word and my servant will be healed. Is that okay? Can you see that the centurion's faith? He had faith in who Jesus was. And then he had faith and said, whatever you say, it's going to happen. Ooh. I can sense why Jesus goes, yeah, I haven't seen so much greater faith. I haven't seen it like this in all Israel. See, this centurion, he had an idea of what authority was about. How many say amen? He knew what authority was about. He says, I am also a man under authority, is what he said. Is that right? I'm also a man under authority. And I say to this guy, go do that, and he goes and does it. Or I say to that one over there, go do that, and he goes and does it. Because I also am a man of authority. What he was telling Jesus, I recognize authority. How many know, of all the people in the earth, Jesus is the one to recognize of having all authority? How many say amen to that? Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Whoo. The authority. Uh-oh. Holy Spirit. I don't know what the Lord just gave me something that I need to speak to you. I can sense God saying, you need to speak this to the congregation. He says a spiritual authority is powerless unless you're under authority. Do you understand that? Are you hearing what he's saying? Somebody in here might need this. Spiritual authority is powerless. How many believe you got authority in the earth? How many believe that? How many believe that you have authority, that Jesus Christ has given you authority in his name to do things that are far abundantly above that you can even ask or think? How many believe that? He has given you authority. But let me tell you this. I sense God saying this to us, that spiritual authority is powerless unless we're under authority. Oh, God. Do you understand what he's saying? Man. I'm sorry, man. Romans chapter 13, verses 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I'm not sure. I just sense the Holy Spirit really guiding here, folks. Listen to what's being said. Spiritual authority is powerless. We're talking about the power of God. Is that right? I didn't have this. I didn't plan for this. But the Holy Spirit, hey, you want it, Lord, we want to have your way, Lord. We will make room for you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This is what the Holy Spirit is saying. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers. Oh, do you get that? Look at your neighbor and say, that's me. Every soul. How many souls we got in here? I don't know. We can ask John. We can ask Pastor John. How many souls we got in here? 6,000? Okay, we got 6,000 people in here. Let every, how many say? Is that all? Let every soul be subject to higher powers. For there is no power but of God. Woo, I'm getting fired up on it. Maybe he's just talking to me. Maybe I need to, all right, but listen. He said, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are what? Ordained of God. That means they're ordered by God. They're set in place by God. Whosoever therefore resists the power, look at this, resists the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves what? Ooh, come on, man. Do you see that every one of us need to be subjected to the power that God has set up upon us? Wow, I'm going to tell you something. What I'm sensing right now is something. Let me just say this to you. Whoever God has placed an authority over, you better keep your mouth quiet if you're criticizing. Do you hear me? I don't care if it's your boss. I don't care if it's your wife. She's over here. I don't care if it's the president of the United States of America. This is what God is saying, folks. That's what he's saying. Put it back, but let's read it again. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers. Are they higher than us? For there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. Can you fit into your mindset that maybe God is doing something with our government? Can you fit that into your mindset? Maybe God's doing something. So, hey, quiet down. It says this, there's no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resists the power, resists the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good, but if you do that which is evil, be afraid, for he bears the sword. Now, okay, all I know is that God had that scripture right there that he wanted me to bring out, and he's saying to anybody that is not under authority, you know that centurion told Jesus, I also am a man under authority. Folks, we need to place ourselves under the authority. How many say amen to that? You need to listen, and especially in the kingdom of God, your authority is the Holy Ghost. How many say that? Amen to that. He's your authority. You need to submit yourself to him, submit to his word that he's speaking to you, and allow him. Allow him to humble you. Allow him to change your heart. How many of you want your hearts changed by God? How many of you know there's some things in my heart that I do, that I say, that I think every once in a while, come on, God, change my heart, change my heart. Whew. Hallelujah. Man, I don't know where I'm at now. Faith is a vehicle. Hallelujah. Oh, the centurion told Jesus, just say it in a word. Matthew chapter 12, verses 34 through 37. I want you to just look at this. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? Is he talking to us? He was actually talking to the Pharisees and the Jews. He says, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of the heart, brings forth good things. An evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be what? And by thy words thou shalt be what? Every idle word is what God says, is what the word of God is telling us. Folks, we need to understand that we, in ourselves, we can produce good or evil. How many say, okay? You can produce good or evil just by the words you're speaking. You can change the course of a child by the words you speak. How many say amen to that? How many know we need to be speaking good things? We need to speak what God gives us to speak. You ever read the word of God where it says slow to speak, quick to hear? How many like slow to speak? How many of you just say what you want to say right away? I used to have told, I just speak my mind. Yeah, okay, well, you get yourself in trouble too. Just quit doing that. Speak the mind of Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Does anybody remember, what was his name? I think it was Quan Chang Kane. Anybody know him? Remember him? Quan Chang. Was it? Yeah. Kung Fu. Yeah, come on. Does anybody remember Kung Fu? I think it was played by David Carradine. Is that right? But you guys remember him? Does anybody remember him? Raise your hand. Come on. Are you anybody awake? Come on, man. If you're awake, raise your hand. Come on. Hallelujah. If you love Jesus, raise your hand. Yeah, come on, man. Hallelujah. I remember they would be making fun of him and doing all this. He just says quiet. Remember? He would not say anything. Is that right? Oh, I used to love that part. I don't know about you guys, but I used to, when I watched Kung Fu, I loved that part about him. I said, man, you guys don't know who you're messing with. Is that right? Man, that guy's going to rip you up, man. You better leave him alone. And he's just standing there just looking at him. Praise God, man. Hallelujah. Talk about under control. Amen. The picture of being under control. Your mouth can get you in trouble. How many say amen to that? It can bring bad things to you, or it can also produce good things. Is that okay? Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't even know how I got into kung fu this morning. Does anybody know any kung fu moves? Come on, jump up. Let's see them. Oh, come on. Yeah, I know a bunch of you do it at home. Just don't want to do it now. Praise God. Hallelujah. By your words, this centurion understood that Jesus had authority and that his words would do something. Amen? His words were able to do. We want to have power with God. Did you know that the word power and authority are mingled together? That authority, you know, he's got power and he's got authority. Those two words kind of mingle together. If you don't have power, you'll have no authority. How many say amen to that? If you don't have authority, you have no power. Is that okay? So those two words, God wants us to be very powerful in the earth. But folks, we got to be under authority. We have to maintain ourselves in a place where we're under authority. And the authority that is God. It's the setup that God has. Folks, whatever is above you in authority, just be good. How's that? If there's anything, you can go home and tell folks at church. Did you go to church today? Yeah. What did they tell you? They told me just to be good. Yeah, just be good. Hallelujah. Let good things come out of your mouth and keep those other things out of your system. Amen? How many of you say, yeah, I don't speak the things I want to speak? Well, just quit thinking those things too. Amen? Don't go there. Don't go there. Hallelujah. You know, I really do believe God has warned us before in this house that we are not to talk about our government the way sometimes we feel like we can. How many believe that? I believe we just cannot speak the things, because if we begin to speak those things, we're not showing the kingdom of God, are we? We're showing the desires of men, the self-will of men. That's what we're showing when we go to speak against those things that, okay, yeah, they might be wrong. Okay, that's good. I mean, maybe that's not good, but you know what? They might be wrong. They might be doing everything completely wrong. But what does the word of God tell us to do? Pray for them. Just pray for them. Pray for them. Don't talk about them. Don't plant more bad seed. Pray for them. Speak into their lives. Can you speak into their life? Remember I asked you, can we speak into somebody's life that's a long way away? Man, I can't wait to see the Holy Spirit just wipe out Congress. Just knock them all down where they can't operate. Where they're getting up, they're going, what was that? I mean, if there's anything we need in our country, it's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Spirit having his way. Lord, have your way with Congress. Amen? Hallelujah. Lord, have your way with Congress. Amen. Hey, one more time. Lord, have your way with Congress. Hallelujah. Have your way with our nation, God. Hallelujah. Do what you want to do with our nation, God. Amen. Hallelujah. Ooh. Am I getting political here? No, I'm not political at all. I'm saying, God, you do it, God. Because, you know, man, we've tried to do it for the last, 200? How old is our country? 220, 76? Anyway, I'm not that good of a mathematician. So anyway, whatever. Over 200 years, we tried to take it. you laughing at me, bro. You can't count, he said. Praise God. Hey, listen. For however long we've been doing this, seemed like it started good, but then there's always, folks, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to have his way. And he can't have his way without we keep interrupting it with the things that we're saying that are contrary to what he's been telling us. Is that right? He says, pray for your leaders. Pray for those that are enemies. Is that right? Be good to those. Can you be good by saying things that are trash? No. Come on. Hallelujah. I know what you're thinking. Move on, Henry. Move on. We've had enough. Yeah. Come on. But see, because God wants us full of power, and we don't realize sometimes the things that we're saying are just robbing the power out of us. Do you understand that? Because those things he's telling you not to do, you're placing yourself out of authority when you do them. Do you understand what he's saying? You take yourself out of authority because he's told you, don't do that. Speak good things. Pray for them. And you speak about them in a wrong way. Come on, you're taking yourself out of authority. You're robbing your own self of the power that he's trying to give you. Does anybody understand that? Hallelujah. Praise God. Pray for them. Because he wants you full of power. Whew. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Here's a statement made that Jesus put up, that Jesus said to his disciples. And I believe this statement is as good as when he said it. He says this, "Behold, I send a promise of my Father upon you." How many say amen? "Tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power." Is that right? "Wait for it." We sang a song this morning. "We wait for you. A heart's desire. Wait for him to fill you with power." Is that okay? I will tell you something, folks. We need the Holy Ghost. We need him. We need his ways. We need his thoughts. We need his leading, his guidance, everything. Everything that he has for us, we need it. Can you say amen to that? So when it's time to focus on what God is saying, because he desires for us, yes, to be truthful, full of truthfulness. He wants us to be full of mercy. Is that right? And he wants us full of power. Can you say amen? Amen. Power. Hallelujah. Tarry until you receive power. Do what you got to do till you receive power. Power is not, listen, this is going to sound kind of weird. Power is not just reading the Bible. How many say amen to that? Power is waiting for a word from on high to come into your heart. That's power. That's where he transforms and changes you. Hallelujah. You can know every scripture in the Bible by heart. So here you go. Memorized. Amen? How many like memorizing scripture? Anybody? 1, 2, 3. I love memorizing scripture. I like walking, talking, saying scripture while I'm walking and talking. But I can tell you, let me just say this to you. You can memorize the whole Bible and still not receive the power that God wants you to have. Because what he reveals to you personally, that's where the power enters. Do you understand that? His power comes through revelation. Hallelujah. It doesn't come through the wisdom of men. How do you say amen to that? Oh, come on, man. Paul the apostle was probably the brightest religious student that Israel had. He was smart. He knew all the scriptures. Jesus knocked him off his donkey. You know nothing as you ought to know. Amen? It wasn't until he was going around killing Christians. It wasn't until the Holy Spirit got a hold of him and said, "Let me show you the things that I have planned for you, my friend." Amen? And we got most of the New Testament is after that man. It's written by that man and the Holy Ghost. Isn't that cool? So it's not wisdom that does anything. I mean, it's not being smart. It's not the wisdom of men that does anything. It's the wisdom of God, and it's the Holy Spirit. That's where the power is at. Praise God. Luke chapter 24:19, that's the one I just read. Matthew 10, verse 20 says this. Oh, I like this. When you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit, and there are times come up, I mean, that you need something. What Jesus was talking about right here, he says, when they call you up before men, before magistrates and stuff, he says, don't even worry about what you're going to say. And he says, for it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaks in you. How many say amen to that? Amen. I'm going to just tell you a little bit about, I believe the promise of God are real. I believe everything that I can find in there, because the Word of God says that eyes not seen, ears not heard, neither has entered in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. Is that right? You can't even imagine what he has for you. He's got more than what you can even think of. Is that cool? He's got more. And I'm a man that believe more. I believe that he's got more. I believe there is nothing impossible. Got a little sign back there in the back that says, with God, all things are possible. How many believe that? How many believe that with God, there's nothing that can be impossible with God, except that he can't go against his word, and there's certain things that he doesn't say. I mean, I say amen. With God, all things are possible. I had picked up the COVID. What do you want to call that? The bug. We'll call it a bug, huh? That's what they do to bugs. We'll call it. I picked up COVID last year, right about this time. Spent 14 days with 103 temperature in my bedroom. Rosie had said, "Man, you're in the back, man." She put me out in the doghouse. I was out, 103. I was weak. I sweat every night. I had lost a lot of weight. I'm just really miserable. It really hit me hard. Some folks it doesn't hit so hard. Other folks it hit me hard. And I'm in the back of the house, and I just got to the restroom. I was just weak. We have 3 steps going up into our house. I could barely go up those steps. Well, I got up in the middle of the night, just soaking wet, used the restroom, went and laid back down, tried to scooted all the blankets that were all wet off of the bed and laid back down. And I heard a voice that said this to me. It says, "You're over 65. I'm going to kill you." And I laid there, and you know, you could watch the news. They said people over 60 were very susceptible to passing away with this the disease and all this other stuff. So I'm laying there, and I really didn't respond to what I just got through hearing. I didn't say a word. Kept my mouth shut. Kept my mouth under control. Well, it wasn't so much that I was under control. I just didn't feel like saying anything. All I know is I heard, "You're over 65 and I'm going to kill you." And I sat there thinking about that. And I knew to say, "Hey, get out of my house," whatever. I didn't go through all of that. What began to happen was deep within me, these words began to come out. And just like it says here, it's not you that speaks, it's the spirit of your father that speaks in you. Out of my mouth came these words. According to Galatians chapter 2, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it's not I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God." He said, "Shut up. You cannot kill me. I'm already dead." How many say amen to that? Woo, I felt that. Folks, that wasn't me. That was the Spirit of God that rose up and spoke those words in my house. "Get out of my house. You're not welcome here. Get out." You know, I fully expected to get up the next morning and go, "Woo, I feel good this morning." No, I still felt, I got up. My body was still undergoing the things. But what had happened, my spirit was generated. How many say amen to that? My spirit was generated because I began to speak something. You know, you will receive what you speak. Do you understand that? That's why you have to be careful. That's why we've got to be careful about the words that we speak to one another, about one another. Just be careful. Listen to yourself. How many say amen? Listen to what you're saying. How many ever said something you say, "Oh, I wish I could take that back. God, I didn't mean that." How many ever done that? Hey, man, you know what? When you start doing that, can I say that? I will tell you that you're on a good road. If you say something, you say, "God, I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry, God." You're on a good road when you begin to do that. Because now you're watching over yourself. You're taking care of yourself. You're saying, "No, I'm not going to speak that again. You know what? I refuse that thing in the name of Jesus. That what I just got through saying, I speak to that, that it would make no fruit, that it would not produce anything." Is that right? I mean, say amen to that. See, I hope you do that because that's what I do. If I say something contrary to what I know what God has said about somebody, you know what? I'll say, "God, no, I'm sorry, God. I don't want to place myself in the position of losing anything that he wants to give me." Amen? You say amen to that? Praise God. And listen to this. So it's your words, his words in you. John chapter 14, verse 12 says this. "Verily, verily, I say to you, he that believes in me, the works that I shall do, that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father." Do you know that we are called to do greater works? Do you know that? Do you know that you're called y'all? How's that? You guys are called to do greater works than what Jesus did. Is that crazy? That's nice. That's a nice for the kingdom of God. That's why you're here. That's why you're listening to my voice, because God has given me words. I am called not to tear down the body of Christ. I'm called to build it up, to strengthen it. How many say amen to that? Yeah. I'm called to help you become a strong man or woman of God by the words that God gives me to speak to you. How many say, for the building up of the body of Christ, not for the tearing down? So he's calling me for that. And see, we've got this mindset that it's in everything that we do. What is important to God is that you do what he tells you to do. Is that okay? Where does it say that, Brother Henry? Let me just show you scripture. Romans chapter 1. I'm not sure what verse it is, but I want you to hear this. Romans chapter 1. I'm giving you some stuff because I like it when the Holy Spirit interrupts and says, give him this scripture. Praise God. Romans chapter 1, it says, verse 5. Can you put that up there? Romans 1, verse 5 says this. By whom we have received grace and apostleship. See, how many of you receive grace? Grace, beautiful. Grace is the Holy Ghost. Do you know that? Grace is the Holy Spirit. It is divine influence upon your heart and its reflection in your life. That's what grace is. Look it up. Grace, divine influence, not on your mind, but on your heart. Divine influence upon your heart and its reflection in your life. It says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations. Do you see that word, obedience to the faith? Obedience to the faith. God wants you to be obedient to what he has for you, what he tells you to do. Is that okay? If he tells you to wash your neighbor's car, go wash your neighbor's car. Amen? If he tells you, know what? Linda brought me a big cup of white mocha iced latte this morning. Linda Enochs. Where are you, Linda? She around? She brought me, you know what? I said, God, you had her do that, didn't you, God? Come on, man. And she obeyed. Amen? I say, praise God to that, man. Hallelujah. It's back there waiting for me. I said, yeah, this is going to be real nice right after that. See, God wants us to obey him. Because in obedience, see, it's placing yourself under the authority that he has over you. And in that is the power. We all want power. Sometimes we ask God, why is nothing ever happening? Because it could be that with your own mouth, you've been resisting the power that God's trying to give you. Is that okay? Amen? Oh, man. Hallelujah. Greater works he wants to do, but it takes power. And that power needs to come through the Holy Ghost. John chapter 1, verse 2 says this, as many as received him, to them he gave what? Power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. That power is the Holy Spirit. He has given you the Holy Spirit that you might become, what's that? What? A son of God. A son. And ladies, don't get excited. Well, I'm a daughter. Yeah, well, it's the Spirit of the Son of God that's within you. So he is saying that you become a son or a obedient child to the King. Is that cool? To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. See, it takes the Holy Spirit to bring that power to you that makes you son or daughter of God. Praise God. Next scripture is Romans, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says this. We have this treasure, amen, in an earthen vessel. Everybody touch yourself. Tap your arm. I'm just trying to see if everybody's awake. Tap your arm. Somebody pinch somebody next to you, if you will. No, come on, wake them up. Praise God, hallelujah. We have this treasure. What treasure? The power in an earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power. How many want that excellent power? The excellent of the power, just 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Okay. The excellent power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. But we have to be under authority to him. Amen. Praise God. What is a child of God that's not under authority of the Holy Spirit? What's he operating in? Self-will, his own will, not God's will, but his own will. How many say amen? How many know that God has a will for you to take you someplace? So don't resist his will. Submit to his will. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, 4 through 5. Here it is. Check this out. It says, for though he was crucified through weakness, amen, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. I must read that again, just in case you didn't get it. For though he was crucified through weakness. How many of you know Jesus was crucified through weakness? I'm going to tell you something. What he did on that cross was not something a weak person would do. Is that right? There was a strength in him. But the scriptures tell us that he laid down his life. He laid it down. And it might have looked like he was weak. The Roman government and some of the Jewish government thought that he was weak, but he was not weak. He was dying for the sins of the whole world. Have you said amen? He was giving up his life. The Bible says that he became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Do you see that? You understand that? He transferred his righteousness to you the day that you believed in him. He placed that into your life. He placed eternal life into your life. And then through weakness, he said he was crucified through weakness, which really was strength. Yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him. I say amen. Can I tell you, we are co-crucified with him. If you look at this in the TPT, it says co-crucified. You were crucified. When he died, you were on that cross. How many of you were there? I mean, I've asked you this question before. How many of you were there that day? Yeah. Yeah, you were there. You might not have, but you were there because he knew the sins of the world from beginning to the end. You were crucified with Christ on his cross, co-crucified. When he died, you died the moment you believed in him. I mean, amen? Do you get that? That's the gospel, man. That is what, that's what's really, he died for you. He says, for we also are weak in him, but we shall live by the power of God toward you. Do you know that you, God is desiring to fill you with his power. But his power operates under his authority. You cannot pull yourself out of the authority. Well, you can, but you also take yourself out of the ability to have power. Is that crazy? We really do need to watch what we say. We really do need to pay attention to what we are feeling and thinking, because God is trying to put the fullness of his power within you. Amen? How many say amen to that? How many want that power? Stand on your feet if you want that power. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Slow to speak. Amen? How many want to be slow to speak? Quick to listen. Hallelujah. You know, it's hard to say, you know, how many of you have ever noticed that it's hard to listen when you're talking? How many are good at that? Some people say, what's that called? Doing two things at one time? What did you call it? Multitasking. Yeah. How many know it's hard to hear when you're talking all the time? Is that right? Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit desires to pour out his power upon you. How many say amen to that? How many have been baptized in the Holy Ghost? Could you just raise your hands if you have? Hallelujah. Those of you that haven't, I want to pray that you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. How many of you are up for that? Say, yeah, let me have it, God. Amen? Hallelujah. And I'm going to just say this to you. I'm going to pray that not only those that never receive the baptism of the Spirit, that everyone in the house would receive, well, those that have been baptized in the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would give you a mighty refreshing. Doesn't have to happen right now, but I'll tell you what. I'm praying it's going to happen to you sometime this week. I've given you 7 days. 7 days to receive that the whole. I'm asking the Holy Spirit. And folks, I believe when I ask God, I believe that he's going to do it. Amen? I believe it. And I believe he's going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost and refresh you in the Holy Ghost if you've already been baptized in the Holy Spirit. How's that? Can I just say this to you? If you believe that Jesus died for your sins and you've accepted them in your heart, can I tell you that the Holy Spirit's already dwelling in you? And it's just a matter of releasing what he says. So if you hear something, cheese it, whatever. Just say it. And allow the Spirit to have his way. Amen? Hallelujah. How many want the baptism of the Holy Ghost? How many want to just be refreshing of the Holy Spirit? Just put your hands up like this. Kind of signifies a cup. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Amen? Come and quench this thirsting of my soul, Holy Spirit. Father, you see our hands. God, I'm asking you, Father, that you would fill every house, every vessel, Father, full of you. Father, I thank you for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Father God, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, Father, I pray, God, that you would have your way, Father God, with your church, your people, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Receive that which Holy Spirit has for you in the name of Jesus. Receive it. To them that received him, he gave the power to become sons of God. Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, we pray, we pray. We thank you for it, God. Ooh, you can put your hands down if you want. Hallelujah. Oh, God, touch your people. Strengthen. Strengthen. Father, your word says that you have commanded our strength. Strengthen your people. In that power that you have given them, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen. Hallelujah. I will dismiss you now. Praise God. Thank you for coming to Sunday service this morning. Hopefully we'll see you next week. David Swift will be preaching to us. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.